A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
I'm Emily Forstner, your host for today's episode about a diverse community of winter outdoor enthusiasts and how they adapt to the changing face of a well-loved area in the Matsu Borough in Alaska. The idea for this started when I was biking a couple of weeks ago on the trails in the Moose Range off of Went Road, and it occurred to me that I played in these woods for more than half of my life. It's changed a lot over the years. I mean, when I first started to play in the Moose Range, skate skiing wasn't a thing, and fat tire snow bikes didn't exist. Neither did side-by-sides, or even slimmed-down snowshoes. This place is multi-use personified. There's a lot that's changed except this. The Moose Range is part of my story here in the Matsu. And I'm reminded then that it's not just my place, it's always been a people's place. This is the Dena'ina and Otna people's traditional land. The area includes the Chicoloon-Kinik-Nelchina Trail. Today's story happens to include the Moose Range. It's just a sliver of the Matsu, but it could be any of countless well-loved outdoor spaces, because the story isn't about a place. It's about people's attachment to a place, that emotional connection we have with our land. This where in our stories, our settings, change what we do, how we live, who we become, and how we care for each other, which is why we call this episode Our Place. We get to hear from 5 different winter recreation users of the Moose Range, and their stories offer perspective on how people attach to their setting and what that means for them when the setting changes. Our first story starts when the population of the valley was just 18,000 people. 2 years before the 130,000-acre wood was officially designated the Moose Range.
Hi, my name is Sharon Powder.
Sharon and her husband Howie Powder moved right next to the Moose Range in Sun Valley Estates and made their home at the base of Hatcher Pass in the early 1980s.
1982 or 3, something like that.
The Moose Range management area is public land. It's a combination of state, local, tribal, and private landholders. It includes the drainages of 6 creeks and 2 rivers. It extends from Sutton to Palmer.
It became a Moose Range while we lived there. It became a Moose Range in 1984.
Right.
But we already had a name for it. We already just went, let's go out to the swamp, let's go out to this trail, let's go up to the woodcut. It was woodcut because we could harvest firewood there. It had a lot of different uses and different names. You just stepped out your door and you went for a walk, or you went for a ski, or you got on your bike and you could go if you wanted to be outside.
There were a lot of mushers back then.
There were. It was very common to have mushers just go by the house and go out there. Big teams, small teams, always friendly. It was a different place, different time. It has changed in that there are more people using it. There are fewer, if any, mushers out there. There are fewer ski drawers. We went ice skating out there. We would parachute sled on the swamp. We would do a lot of things in the winter, and now mostly you just see people on skis, people on bikes. There's a lot more snow machine traffic.
Have you ever been lost out there?
I've been lost in the woods, but that was because I like to wander, and that was a fall thing.
I have yet to meet someone who hasn't been lost out there.
Yes.
You haven't been to the Moose Range unless you've been misplaced.
Yes, misplaced. Yeah.
For just a little bit.
Yes.
I won't tell you how I know that.
Yeah, I know, and I won't tell you how I know that you know that.
Sharon recently sold her house in Sun Valley and moved to downtown Palmer. Has it changed your perspective and your sense of place?
It has, because I've been away from that area for about 4 years now, and I feel less responsibility than I did 4 years ago, 3 years ago, last year. And I still have areas, if I go and I take a new friend who hasn't been to my familiar ski trails, then it's home to me. Because when you live in a place that is special, you can't help but feel responsible for it. And when you see its change, it hurts. Or or you like changes. You know, it can go either way. But having moved away, I don't feel as responsible. I still love the place. It still is my place, but other people need to take care of it now.
When you say how you used it and responsibility, that leads me to Howie.
Yes, yes. So my husband, Howell Powder, Howie, built the first groomer, and he built it because he wanted to skate-ski on the trails.
A groomer is a sled-like contraption pulled behind a snow machine to even and smooth out a trail in the snow for a number of winter activities.
So he bought a welder, and he learned how to weld, and he built this groomer to drag behind the snow machine. It was great. He dove right into it and did it for everybody, for the neighbors. I'll never forget when I was out there, and he had just groomed the trails. And there was someone on it. I can't remember if it was horses or it was a snow machine tearing it up. And I was just heartsick. And I came home and I said, oh, the trails, you know, you just groomed and they look really bad now. And he said, Sharon, they're multi-use trails. Don't worry about it. So this whole idea of multi-use in the Moose Range is really, it's the heart and soul of an open place that everybody can use it and feel ownership of it.
What are some of your favorite memories?
Oh, I have all these favorite memories. Howie would take Selena out. Selena is our daughter, and he would take her out a lot in the dog sled. Mostly, though, he would take her as she was older in the sled behind the snow machine. And then a couple of times he'd turn around and she was no longer on the sled. She was older. She just kind of fell off, and Daddy have to go back and get her. The other one is, and it's a fun one for in the swamp in the winter, we would take lawn chairs out and put them in this little grouping of trees on the west end of the swamp. And when the sun came out, you could sit in those chairs. And we would, you know, stuff them in and hide them in the trees, but you could always tell other people had found them and would use them in the same way. It was just, that's such a fun little memory for sitting and just enjoying the peace of the swamp.
Howie died in a motorcycle accident in 2009. At the end of Went Road, there is a hill that climbs immediately into the woods. It's called Powder Loop. Ten years after the Powders moved into the area, Bill Moorwinkle rented a friend's cabin to the north on Murphy Road.
So that's, you know, that's the backyard there. Yeah, that was our little playground.
Bill lives closer to Palmer now, but he continues to be committed to the Moose Range.
Kind of interesting is that I remember skiing out in the Moose Range, seeing Mark Grunwald come by.
Local Mark Grunwald designed some of the first fat tire bikes in the country with wildfire-designed bicycles.
And now that I don't think I've put a pair of cross-country skis on in 10 years.
Bill's a board member of the Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers.
Yeah, it's just great to be on a board that is working towards really making people happy, you know, getting people out on trails. For me, the Moose Range is a place that I can go out and get a longer ride in. The ski club and that volunteer crew is amazing what they do and how many miles they groom out there. It just continued to get blown away with the effort that happens out there.
That's really changed things, hasn't it?
It has. You know, there was a couple locals that would go out there with drags, but mostly we were following snow machine trails out there or, you know, breaking our own trail. I think for the most part, the snow machiners that are out there are pretty respectful of the groom trails. You know, occasionally you'll get people out there with one type of snow machine or the snow machines with paddle tracks that tend to tear things up a little bit. I think that they generally coexist pretty well.
Bill's been here 30 years. That's over a quarter of a century. He's got to have seen some change.
Yeah, I see lots and lots of new faces, which I think is awesome. I'm seeing a lot. What I've noticed, too, is a lot more families out there, which is always great to see.
New faces?
I have a dog.
And lots of dogs.
That's one of my favorite things to do is to be out there with my dog. I love seeing other people out there with dogs. Well, I spent a lot of time training my dog because 10 years ago she was caught in a trap that was right next to a trail. It seems like I used to see a lot more trapping out there in the past, but it's not as prevalent anymore. To me, the one of the more challenging things is the four-wheeler ATV side-by-side, because they have a choice. You know, they could choose not to go on, you know, especially some of these smaller, narrower trails that they're grooming primarily for non-motorized, that essentially gets wiped away with one person using it. When you're out there, you realize everybody else is sort of getting along, the bikers, the snow machiners, the skiers, the walkers. Everybody kind of tolerates each other and gets along. So it's just, I wish people would be more aware of that and maybe more thoughtful towards other people.
What's one of your favorite memories of the Moose Range?
I've been thinking about that, and one of my favorite and probably one of my scariest, so to speak, because it is a maze of trails out there. I have gone out there and have gotten so turned around, and particularly one time when I was out there exploring some new trails, and I was out there and it totally socked in and I got turned around. I was out there for several hours and ended up over on Buffalo Mine Road. My car was over on Sun Valley Road. Yeah, anyways.
That was a long day.
It was a long day.
Another 10 years go by and more people move into the Murphy Road neighborhood, including Karen Hopp.
I've been involved with the Moose Range since I moved there in 2003.
Karen is an ultra runner, ultra skier, and rides a fat tire bike. That's right. She does it all.
On the Moose Range, I started running and riding horses and then skiing in the winter and then biking. And by 2014, I was on me and everybody else. My life would not be the same if I didn't live near the Moose Range. I moved out on purpose from Fairbanks to Peters Creek, but the Moose Range was the icing on the cake. It wasn't just a meadow that I could run and bike, and now I can run and bike and ski, and it's all right out our door, especially with the grooming that we do through the Matsu Ski Club.
You're a groomer. What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Well, when the trails get rough, so does the skiing get rough. And so the groomers are home-built groomers by people involved in the ski club, pulled by snow machines that were funded through grants through the Matsu Ski Club. And those groomers are just like, well, not quite like piston pulleys, but they have the threads, the flat part of the groomer that makes little lines that make the snow, it aerates the snow to make a nice, smooth surface for people. It
takes, and that's called corduroy?
Corduroy, that's it. That's the magic thing is corduroy. And it does show up on the Moose Range early.
So these groomers, are they homemade?
They are. They're home built. Our friend Jean from Wasilla has built 7 or 8 or 9 of these groomers that have been distributed through from Wendt to Sutton with people pulling groomers, some of them on their personal machines, two machines actively grooming through the ski club on the Moose Range itself.
A half dozen or so ski club volunteer groomers and some neighbors, too.
There are several people multiple people use their private machines. On Wendt, there's 2-3 other people that use their private machines. And on my end, there's 2 guys, actually, that use private machines. The longest grooming day the Moose Range had was 41 miles because they crossed over Moose Creek towards Sutton, which does not get done very often with the ski club. But the base loop in the Moose Range is about 16 miles for sure, but easy to add because of
the interconnecting,
where you connect.
All the little loops inside.
Yeah. The ruts that have grown catastrophically over decades make it very hard. And so if someone strong gets out there, they can keep the machine from tipping over, which that happens. You know, I've been stuck and rescued more than once. And they have progressed from nothing, from inches to feet. And that's just the nature of the multi-use trail system.
Unforgettable ruts and equally unforgettable memories.
I mean, over the years, I've seen wolves. One, there's a single wolf and a single moose trotting across an open meadow. And I'm just standing there going, wow, National Geographic. And then another time, were skiing around, and my dogs turned around, came back with their eyes wide open, like, and I went, ooh, what's wrong? And I went around the corner, and there's two big wolves standing in the trail. I'm like, okay. The wolves turned and left. So those are pretty epic moments. Even when I get lost, I'm never that lost.
You have been lost?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I get lost. I'm directionally impaired. I know up and down, not much else. And the Moose Range is conducive to being lost. You don't have to go fast. You can chat. You can just sit and watch a sunset. You can walk down the hill. You can walk up the hill. It's definitely a community, neighborhood, area that welcomes all users, period. And if we all treat each other with respect and patience, it stays that way. It stays a community thing. People know each other. People talk, even when you don't know each other. People help each other.
On the other side of the Moose Range, right about the same time that Karen moved into her house, Shane and Heather Barber were moving into Sun Valley Estates down from Sharon, all connected somehow by a place.
So we moved into this neighborhood 26 years ago.
Or 27 years.
Yeah.
I met Shane and Heather at their home on a Saturday morning, and I had to wonder, what was it like raising a family when the Moose Range was also your playground?
It has actually shaped it in a wonderful way because my kids were out riding snow machines or four-wheelers or whatever throughout their whole growing up. So.
And our kids actually bought houses in this neighborhood just so they could do it with their kids. Yeah,
so now I have,
can you believe that?
Now we have grandchildren in the neighborhood that are growing up starting to use the same trails.
The Barbers are the poster family for multi-use. They winter fat tire bike, horseback ride, ski, walk, and snow machine.
I have a Skidoo Expedition, which is a utility machine now. I used to have mountain sleds. I used to ride those out here. And there's places that you can get in and go play, and you can actually get into some good powder snow when we have it. Unlike this year.
I'd like to tell you that a multi-use area such as the Moose Range is like a family with siblings who squabble sometimes. You know, you always get the bigger piece. Mom likes you best. You know, that sort of thing. But grown-ups are never that easy, are they?
It all has controversy.
Yeah.
Summer and winter also.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. So there's a vast difference in people.
Sometimes the different groups get mad at each other. And Shane and I try to just not be a part of any of that because it's legally for everybody. So, you know, like if you groom the trail and then a horseback rider goes through and punches it out, it's for everybody.
That's what Howie told Sharon 40 years ago.
I can't speak for every snow machiner out there, but I respect who's out there. And I slow down or I'll come to a stop. You know,
move aside,
let them get by, you know, especially if they have their dogs with them, you know, stuff like that, just so that keep it friendly. That's the biggest thing, is I try to keep it as friendly as I possibly can.
The Barbers said local businesses and outdoor clubs also work to educate people about the multi-use area and how to respect it. That helps.
We live here. We do the work. We play here. Let's try to keep it as nice as we can.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, and right now, if you take your snow machine out there, you're gonna destroy it. So we haven't even saddled ours up to go out and ride yet this year. Yeah, I don't need to tear it up for future use. So I try to keep it as good as we can.
Shane's one of those neighbors we talked about. He volunteers his own machine and his own time to help groom the trails.
I am strictly a volunteer. I don't have any money except for my own that goes into it. And that's because that's what I want. That's my place. That's my input into our Moose Range. Heather and I actually go through and we run the trails. We pick up trash. We pick up a lot of trash, clean up after people.
Or clearing down trees, because that happens, and it really happened during the windstorm. And it was fun how many people came out and were cutting down trees. It was great.
But have you ever been lost in the Moose Range?
I feel like Shane knows the trails so well, but we just got lost, was it 2 winters ago? And we popped out onto a road, and we didn't know where we were at because we were kind of exploring, and it ended up being Soapstone Road.
Oh, off of Yarrow, I think.
Yarrow.
Yeah.
We were like, Yar, oh, we're here. Like, yeah, we got lost just a couple of years ago. It was a fun lost, though.
They would have to have great memories, right?
I have a lot of them, actually. Like, one time I was out grooming and with the snow machine and running around out there doing all my trails and stuff, and it's getting right about dusk, and I hit the big swamp again, and I'm coming back across the big swamp, and there's like 20 moose out there.
Get out.
They're all in a group. There's 20 moose right there in the trail, and I just stopped, watched them for a while from a distance, just enjoyed it. I mean, those are memories that you'll never forget. It's just beautiful. You just can't replace that. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why we live where we live.
The first Moose Range Management Plan was printed in 1986. The second plan was published online, and more than 110,000 people live here. No wonder the Moose Range seems busy. So what's a newcomer's sense of the place? Only one way to find out. I asked.
My name is Josh Wongeman.
I met up with Josh in his classroom at Wasilla High School. He teaches science there and coaches cross-country sports. He's from South Dakota.
So the Black Hills. The Black Hills of South Dakota. The good part of the state. Yeah, we get to 7,000 feet. Yeah. That's the tallest thing since, I think, the mountains in Europe, if you're going east.
Josh and his family live in Wasilla. How'd they find out about the Moose Range?
That is a good question. We got invited out to go do some cross-country skiing, and you could take the dog out there, which you can't do at Government Peak. Just went around skiing.
Now the whole family goes, his wife, their daughter, and their dog.
And that seems to be our go-to place if we just want to low-key cross-country ski out in the woods.
Why is it your go-to place?
It's just a more relaxing environment. I know I like skiing at Government Peak. I like skiing at the Independence Mine. If I go to those places, I go and I skate ski, and I really have a workout mindset when I go there. But when I go to the Moose Range, I might be skiing for 30 minutes or I might be skiing for 3 hours, but you're going with friends, you're having conversation, or you're going with family and you're having conversation. You might put miles and miles in, but it's kind of more of a relaxing sort of adventure outside. I don't know, maybe it's a mindset. It's a place to go and relax. The trails from my house don't feel like a place to go and relax, but the Moose Range does.
Do you think you have a sense of belonging there?
I think, yeah, from day one. I think that it's a comfortable place to be. I mean, you're outside. You can see the mountains. You're in the mountains. You're in the wild.
Have you ever gotten lost out there?
Not very lost. Not like in the crevasse moraine trails. But I definitely, the first couple times out there, I think I started going in maybe January of 22. And so, of course, the days are short. You go after work. You know, finding your way around in the dark is a lot different than finding your way around in the daytime. But I can't think of a story that really stands out. But for me, that's probably a good thing, right? But the wind off the swamp, I think those trips are probably the most memorable, where you go out and it's breezy and you're like, oh, man. I'm going to try to stay in the trees, but there's not a lot of trees out there. There's lots of land everywhere, but coming from a place like South Dakota where there's, I felt like users vying for a space, it's a unique experience to go out into an area and have every user group, motorized, non-motorized, really not be bent out of shape that, you know, if I'm out on my fat bike and I don't want to hear a snow machine motor. I never see anyone like that out there. Or being a skier and see the groom tore up a little bit because a snow machiner drove on the trail. Like, I don't think anybody goes out there with expectations.
Josh and his family represent the future for our well-loved places like the Moose Range. So what's his hope?
I was actually the president of a ski grooming nonprofit. So I've been there and worked, fought for the ability to have trails on public land that were exclusive to a specific sport. And I hope that, number one, the user groups, I think, maintain an amicable relationship, number one, because I think that's part of what makes the Moose Range special, is that there are multiple user groups. There's various interested parties, but there doesn't seem to be much in the way of politicking between user groups fighting over, well, this area needs to be non-motorized, or we need to keep the ski trails and the fat bike trails separate. I've never been a party to any of that. And it could be just because I'm new. Yeah. I think a lot of people hope that it won't change from an outsider's perspective. And I guess in that regard, I feel the same way. I like it the way it is.
All true. Josh, I hope you and your family can gather the memories and enjoy the view.
It's home. It's my home. I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable with everything I do back there. And it's our home. You have between Christmas tree cutters to walkers, bikers, snow machines. We all want to get along. We all want to do it together.
It's worked this long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make it last longer, that's for sure.
This episode has been about people who share one special place in their lives, one small snapshot of the changing valley, the Moose Range. But it could have just as easily been any one of our places. Maybe it's up Lazy Mountain, near Willow, down the Little Sioux, or that one berry-picking hill that you tell no one but your sister where it is. Wherever it is for you, our places are more than their geography. They are the very fabric of our lives. They help us from getting lost.
My favorite memory, and I think of this throughout every year probably, is there's an area in the Moose Range that Sharon Powder and Howie Powder had lawn chairs where they would recreate, and then they would pull their lawn chairs out and watch the sunset. And it was just a picture of love of each other and love of the Moose Range, and that's... It just says it all. I wish I had a photo because it's in my head for sure.
And that's it for today's episode of Voices in the Mat-Su. Listeners can access the 2024 Matanuska Moose Range Plan through the Department of Natural Resources or contact the Mat-Su Borough Department of Land Management at www.matsugov.us. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit more. Special thanks to the Big Cabbage editorial board, audio assistant Robin Turk, sound editor Emma Keachley, and to Joyce Kelly, who shared with me the Moose Range. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Mat-Su.
Yeah.
And it's called Voices of the Mat-Su. It's a monthly podcast.
You want to say my name here? Rhett Buchanan. I think I've been riding in the Moose Range, riding, skiing, hiking, hunting for 15 years probably. Yeah, it's a lot. It's something for everybody.
What do you do out here in the valley?
I'm a teacher. I'm a Mat-Su Junior Nordic volunteer ski instructor. And I'm a summertime commercial fisherman out of the valley in Bristol Bay.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
This was Voices of the Mat-Su, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat-Su borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat-Su do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat-Su Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.